I want you to turn with me this morning to 2 Corinthians. Again, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And we can read from verse 6. It speaks there in chapter 5. We talked a little bit about it last week. We look forward to new bodies, resurrection bodies. And Paul said he longed for that, and says in verse 5 that God, who prepared us for this very purpose, when our redemption is complete, the redemption of our bodies, He's given us a spirit as a pledge, as a down payment. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. And further down, he says there, if we are beside ourselves, verse 13, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Verse 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And working together with him, chapter 6 verse 1, an unfortunate chapter, division, working together with him, we also urge you, or we beg you, not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I want this morning, on my heart, which God has put on my heart, to speak to us about the ministry of reconciliation, which we have read about there, verse 19. That God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And we are called to be ambassadors for Christ, he says, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you. I want you to notice the word that the Holy Spirit uses through the Apostle Paul. We beg you. We beg you. Be, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Because he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. And he's not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to the church. I want you to notice that. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church. And he's calling the people in the church in Corinth to be reconciled with God. In the Message Bible it says, become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so that we could be put right with God. And somebody says that God trades His righteousness for our sin. Something of immeasurable worth for something completely worthless. God's righteousness reconciled, that's what it means. We get something in exchange. And God gives us His righteousness and takes our sin. And that's what happened to Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And that's why you and I can be reconciled. But people don't want to be reconciled. God did that right in the beginning when we were enemies. Romans chapter 5 verse 10. It says, while we were enemies, we were reconciled through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And that word reconcile, you know, it's a word that comes to the end of the financial year and accountants and auditors, you know, reconcile. They reconcile accounts, something, some discrepancy there, they align it. They see that it's aligned. And that word reconcile means to settle, to make peace. That's simply what it means. To see that we are on the same wavelength with God. And God has taken the first step. That's what we read there. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. God has taken the first step, not you or I, my brother and sister. God has taken that first step to be reconciled to us. Let's remember that. I didn't take the first step. I hope you don't think that you took the first step. God took the first step. He did that with the world. Where the world rejects it. But those who are willing to accept, those who are willing to be reconciled, and that's why the Holy Spirit says, I beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And when we are reconciled to God, God gives us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 18. And He has committed to us, in verse 19, the end of that verse, He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And He makes us ambassadors for Christ. It's an awesome responsibility to be an ambassador, even in the physical sense. For somebody to be an ambassador to another country, he has a solemn responsibility, is representing his country. The ambassador for India is representing India and the interests of India and everything else. And so it's a very solemn responsibility. It requires a degree of tremendous loyalty and faithfulness. Otherwise, he cannot be a true representative. He cannot be a true ambassador. And sometimes some ambassadors have to be called back. And we are called, you and I, to be ambassadors, true ambassadors, if we are reconciled to God through repentance and faith in Christ. That's where we begin, through repentance and faith in Christ. Not by being attached to a church, not by reading our Bible and praying, all that is good. And not by serving in the church either. I have to come in through repentance and faith. This is the foundation, my brothers and sisters. If we are to be reconciled to God, if we are to know what it is to be reconciled to Him, if we know what it is to be an ambassador for Christ, be reconciled to God. And I want to say that to all of us this morning. Are you reconciled to God? I'm not talking about dates. I'm not talking about how it was 10 years, 20, 30 years ago. Today, this morning, are you reconciled to God? It's not what I do for God, not how much money I put into that offering box. It's whether I've been reconciled to God, whether I have taken what He has done. He has given me His righteousness, He's taken my sin. He did that in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. God does not take into account, if we repent, He doesn't take into account whatever life we lived in the past. He doesn't take it into account. If we come in repentance and faith and in exchange take, humble ourselves and take what He gives us of immeasurable worth, His righteousness. Think of it, my brothers and sisters, His righteousness, His very own nature that He puts in us and sows a seed in our hearts when we come to Christ. And that's what He did on the cross of Calvary. That's why the Holy Spirit says that we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We come in through the door. We don't climb up some other way. We come in through repentance. Both John and Jesus preached, repent. They didn't care whether they were accepted or not. I would encourage you to go to our website and read a powerful article. The message of Brother Prabhakar preached in Kerala to the elders in Kerala. The way John and Jesus worked together, they didn't look for acceptance. They preached repentance. John said, repent. John didn't want even to be called a prophet. He said, I'm a voice calling people to repent, preparing the way of the Lord. And the church is that voice today. We don't have to be prophets and prophetesses. We can be that voice. I want to be that voice that calls people to repentance, that calls people to be reconciled to God through repentance and faith. Jesus came after him. John pointed to Jesus. This is the one who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. I encourage you, take time to read that article, all of you, even though it was message preached to the elders, it's so relevant and so necessary for us if we want to be part of what God is doing in these last days. God gives us the Holy Spirit, we read there as a pledge in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 4. We read that word. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a guarantee that's going to culminate in glorified resurrection bodies. That's what Paul speaks about there. He's so caught up. He says, I'd rather be with the Lord. To be absent from the body means to be with the Lord. And he looked forward to that. And that's what we look forward to, that one day our bodies are going to be redeemed just as our soul and our spirit has been redeemed. Our body will be redeemed. We'll have new bodies. But while we are here, that we see that we are reconciled to God, to be reconciled to Him, not only for the forgiveness of sins, but also everything that happens in this life, everything that happens in these bodies of ours, to be reconciled to our present lot in life. Are you reconciled or you complain? You don't feel you deserve something more than what you have at the moment or what you're going through. How can God do this? You're not reconciled to God. You haven't come on the same wavelength. You're not in alignment with His will for your life. Are you reconciled to circumstances that He allows into your life and mine? Or do we complain and we get angry with Him? Be reconciled to God. Not just that your sins have been forgiven, but everything that happens in our trials, are we reconciled to Him that He has chosen that trial? In our temptations, that He has chosen us to be tempted, to be reconciled to Him? He will not lead me into the power of temptation. He'll deliver me from the power of the evil one, as He's taught us to pray. Be reconciled to God, my brother and sister, wherever we live in our geographical location. But we live in, some people are so, they don't want to live in India. They want to run off somewhere else. They're ashamed to have an Indian passport. They're ashamed to be known as a citizen of India. I thank God. God knows. I'm reconciled to the fact that I've been born in India. God has planned that. Where I should be born, what family, what community, what language I speak, what background, what culture. God has planned. I'm reconciled. I don't care people look down on me, look down on my community or anything of these things. I'm reconciled to God. I'm at perfect rest. Are you my brother, sister, or you complain and think that if you were somewhere else it would be better, you'd live a better life for God? Are you reconciled with the personality God has given you? The color of skin, and you say, oh, I'm too dark. I wish I was a little fairer. I'm so ugly. Sisters, You complain, you look into the mirror. You're not reconciled to how you look when you look into the mirror. God has planned. God has put all those molecules together that gives you your features, your personality. God has planned it. Be reconciled to God. I beg you, the Holy Spirit says, be reconciled to God. In all our circumstances, in all our situations, our limitations, our weaknesses. Okay, you have temperamental weaknesses. I'm not saying you reconcile that you live with those temperamental weaknesses. Believe, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. It's going to change. If it takes time, it will change. You will change. But you think, no, I've always been this way. I've always been this way. And you'll be that way till the end of your life, till you breathe your last breath. I don't believe I'll always be this way. I believe a change began long back, 43 years ago. And it's increased ever since I came into this church. And I'm changing every day. My inner man is being renewed, even though the outer man is decaying. And as we get older, all the aches and pains and all the other things that happen to us, doesn't disturb me. I'm reconciled to God. My inner man is being renewed day by day. That's what we read there. Day by day, every day. Because I'm reconciled to Him. Not just for the forgiveness of my sins, but everything that He allows into my life. My will is aligned with His for everything. I'm on the same wavelength. I have no complaints. I'm a happy man. I'm content. You may say, Brother Ian, it's okay for you. You're okay for you. But think of where it was for me 43 years ago, 35, 37 years ago, when we had little of this world's things and rode about on a powered bicycle and did my business to support my family. All through I'm reconciled. And it doesn't increase my joy if God has increased me materially or financially. It's a passing thing. One day we have to leave it all and go. So I want to encourage all of you. Be reconciled to God. Become an ambassador. You cannot be a true ambassador if you're not reconciled to God. If in some area you're not reconciled to Him. You say, oh, you don't know the kind of husband I have. Your husband says, oh, you don't know the kind of wife I have. She's always at me. Be reconciled to God. The Holy Spirit says to you this morning, be reconciled to God. Oh, you don't know the kind of children I have, the problems they give me. Be reconciled to God, my dear brother, sister. You'll become an ambassador. God will give you the ministry of reconciliation. You'll have a word of reconciliation. You'll be a true ambassador. Otherwise, you have nothing. Nothing to tell others. You'll just go around like the Pharisees went around. We saw that last week. Making other people twice the son of hell that they themselves were. Become a true ambassador. There are four characteristics. I want to see if we are really reconciled to God. What should be characteristic in our life? It's all there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and 6. The first thing is there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we just read. And he said there in verse 8, prefer rather to be absent from the body to be at home with the Lord. That was Paul's longing, but he said, it's for your sake. I have to stay on in this body. There's a work for me to do. We'd all like to go home. We'd all like to have our resurrected bodies. We'd all like to be there, to be absent from the body. He says, I prefer that and to be present with the Lord. He says, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, we don't walk by appearances. Like I said, if I go by circumstance situations, I cannot be reconciled. I will always be in unrest. But if I walk by faith and not by appearance, think what's coming. Think the end of it all. I know the end of the story, how my life is going to end. That's the faith I should have, that I will endure in love to the end. And he says that we are of good courage. I say and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore we also have as our ambition whether at home or absent, this is it, to be pleasing to the Lord. Whether at home or absent, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Make it your ambition. What is your ambition? What is my ambition, my brothers and sisters? One time I wanted to become the best interior decorator in Bangalore. And thank God. God helped me to see the folly of that. And God helped me to see what He had laid hold of me for. I left it. And I made it my ambition to please God. And that is my ambition till today, to please God. Even if I don't please others, even if my relatives and others get offended with me, my ambition is to please the Lord. If you're reconciled to God, that will be your ambition. I want you to see that. To please the Lord. And he doesn't stop there. He says in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That was not the only reason that Paul wanted to please God, but that was what he had in mind. We've heard in this church that we need to have a dress rehearsal of what's going to happen. Yeah, the end is going to be glorious, but there's going to be something also at the end. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you and me. It says that to be recompensed, to be paid back for how I've lived with this body. Are we listening, my brothers and sisters? How I live with this body that God has given me in this one life on the earth. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us, it's not going to be a general thing, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. That's Romans chapter 10, verses 10 to 12. So why do you judge your brother? Why do you regard your brother with contempt? You'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one of us will give an account of himself to God. So at the judgment seat of Christ, two things will happen. I have to give an account of myself, each one of us. And what we have read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, we will be recompensed. Two things. I have to give an account, the way I lived in my body, and then I will be paid. I will be recompensed for how I have lived in my body, for the deeds done in our bodies. Let's take heed to that, my brothers and sisters, you young people. Take heed to that. Don't waste your life like I did. I wish somebody would have got hold of me when I was 18 years and helped me to see the foolishness of living for myself and living the way I was, instead of having to wait later to come to Christ and repent. What a life I could have lived. And you young people who are so privileged to be in this church, to hear the things that you hear here. Remember, have that in mind. Have a dress rehearsal. One day you're going to stand, you and me. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of how I've lived in this body. And I'm going to be recompensed. God is going to pay me. God's going to reward me for the way I have lived in this body. May we take it to heart. You young people, you have your whole life before you. Have that dress rehearsal. Make it your ambition to please God. You can have other ambitions, but your first ambition is to please God. Not to become whatever you want to become. To be the doctor, to be the engineer, to be whatever else. Some people want to get rich, they want to be millionaires. Make it your ambition to please God. Because we are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We have to give an account and we are going to be rewarded. I pray to God, at least from now, after hearing this, you and I will take it seriously, how we use our bodies. How we live in them. One day, we'll leave these bodies back, or when Jesus comes, if we have the privilege of remaining, they're going to be changed in the twinkle of an eye. But it's not going to happen automatically. And I live as I like. I'm careless and in the things I do in this body on this earth, and I think I'll be changed. You're deceiving yourself. I'm deceiving myself. Make it your ambition. That's the first characteristic of one who is reconciled to God. Make it your ambition to be pleasing to Him. The second thing I want you to see there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 11, it says there, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, one of the many important things the Holy Spirit says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, that's in context of what we just read in verse 10. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. The fear of God will characterize your life and mine if we are reconciled to Him. If we are truly reconciled to God, the fear of God will characterize our lives. I will walk in the fear of God. Romans chapter 3 in verse 9. I'd like you to turn there for a moment. Romans chapter 3 in verse 9 tells us the whole conditions. It sums up in those verses that come from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, I think it is. It says there in verse 9, he says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. You know, he's talking about the Jews and the Greeks. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks, and you can put your community in, whatever your father and ancestors were, bishops and archbishops and whatever else, or maybe godly men and women. But it says there that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin, as it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their parts, and the path of peace they have not known. And it sums up in verse 18. Why is it so? There is no fear of God before their eyes. That one statement, the Holy Spirit says, sums up everything that He says from verse 10 onwards. There is no fear of God before their eyes. When I am reconciled to God, I will increase in the fear of God. I will increase in the fear of God. I will fear God. Paul says, because of the fear of God, we are persuading you. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, brother, sister in Corinth. Brother, sister in CFC, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account and be recompensed for what you've done in your body. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. And that's how it will be, my brothers and sisters. If I am a true ambassador, I will fear God. If an ambassador for Christ, I'm reconciled to Him, I fear God. Cornelius, the first Gentile, you know, in Acts chapter 10, Peter speaks there. If you like, you can turn to it. He says there, the Holy Spirit describes him as a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. That's a testimony the Holy Spirit had of Cornelius, one who feared God with all his household. He had an influence over his family. It doesn't just speak about Cornelius. It speaks also about his family. He influenced his family. Do we influence our family? Do we influence our children? Do they see that mom and dad fear God? A devout man, a Gentile, the first Gentile who came to Christ. That's why God, you know, God looks around this earth and He looks and He saw this man, Cornelius, who not only threw out his money, the many alms he gave, he feared God with all his household. Do we seek to fear God together with our families, or we are afraid of what our relatives will say, we are afraid of what our, you know, other family members would say, and they may think that we have gone bonkers, we're too hard, too strict. But if we seek to bring up our children in the fear of God, my brothers and sisters, not worry about what relatives say and what our in-laws say. I know that I'm not speaking theories. I didn't care what my in-laws said. I didn't care what my own family said. I didn't care what my immediate siblings said, how they brought up their children. I sought to teach my children the fear of God. And that's why it has gone well with them today. They had their problems, their difficulties, the different phases they went through. And Peter says further on in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, he says, I most certainly understand, listen to this, that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right is welcome to Him. In every nation, immaterial, Cornelius was a Gentile. We look down on non-Christians, we look down on others, but I tell you, but perhaps there's more fear of God among some of the non-Christians, whatever religion they believe in, than many of us who sit in CFC. Than many people who call themselves the people of God. God is not one to show partiality, Peter says. I most certainly understand that God is not one to show partiality. He does not receive a face. Every nation, the man who fears Him and does what is right, or the woman who fears Him and does what is right, is welcome to Him. My dear brothers and sisters, the fear of God is fast disappearing from God's people. You see it, I see it, and I see the flood of evil that seeks to come into the church. The fear of God is disappearing in spite of powerful preaching, in spite of all the truths we understand, in spite of whatever it is we have been gripped by in the church. The important thing is, do I fear God? Do I fear God? That is a characteristic of a man who's truly reconciled to God. And the fear of God is fast disappearing because godly men are fast disappearing too. Do you see that? I see it. Godly men are fast disappearing. Even in David's time in Psalm 12, in verse 1, he said, "Help, Lord, thousands of years ago, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be. The faithful disappear from the sons of men." Micah, in his time, chapter 7, verse 2, he said, "The godly man has perished from the land. There's no upright person among men." Micah, who lived thousands of years ago. What about you and me who live today in the 21st century? We think the fear of God is there. It's disappearing, my brothers and sisters. Very fast, it's disappearing from the church. The fear of God is disappearing from among us. I want to say that. It breaks my heart. No matter what we have heard, even though we have sat in this church and we had a brother like Brother Zach among us, a true servant, a true prophet of God, a true apostle like the Apostle Paul, thank God for him. But godly men are fast disappearing. We take for granted that we have such men among us. The godly person Micah cried out has perished from the land. There is no upright person among men. Isaiah cried out. Isaiah 57 verse 1. The righteous man perishes. And listen to it. No one takes it to heart. The righteous man perishes. No one takes it to heart. We see righteous men, godly men. I'm not talking about all these peddlers, you know, of God's word today. I'm not talking about these TV evangelists and preachers. I'm talking about true godly men. They are fast disappearing, and that's why the fear of God is disappearing from among us. No one takes it to heart. Do you take it to heart when you hear the godly man has gone on to be with the Lord? Or we go on as if nothing happened. Sad. Very sad. You take it for granted. We have somebody like Brother Zach. We have godly brothers among us, brothers and sisters. You take it for granted. Thank God for them. It's not just Brother Zach and Brother Newton. There are others, godly brothers and sisters. Take it for granted. Take it to heart, my brother. Thank God that there are godly people in CFC still, even though the fear of God is disappearing from among us. Thank God. I thank God for them, and I pray for them and their families. May God have mercy upon us that we don't take it to heart. And when the fear of God disappears, What takes over? Hypocrisy. When the fear of God disappears from your life or mine, I become an actor. I have to give an impression that, you know, everything is okay. I have to keep my testimony. What will the brothers and sisters think about me? The fear of God has gone from my life. They don't know much about my secret life. Hypocrisy takes over. Hypocrisy enters the church. It's the leaven. That's why Paul says in another place, purge out the old leaven, clean out the old leaven, so that we may be a new lump. We need to do that in our lives. We need to test ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we have seen it often. And examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, whether we are truly reconciled to God, or we are just living by dates and living, you know, by being accepted in the church, by serving in the church and doing many things. We are deceiving ourselves, my brothers and sisters. Let the fear of God, let's cry to God, Lord, give me the fear of God, put the fear of you in my heart, that I will not sin against you. That's the characteristic of a man who really fears God. May we seek that. And the third thing I want you to see, 2 Corinthians is there in chapter 5, in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says that, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one dies for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. I want you to notice that. We looked at it before. It says the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one dies for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. Not for others, not for the church, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. We don't live for ourselves anymore. That's the characteristic of a man who, and a woman who is reconciled to God. We don't live for ourselves. We don't live also for others. We live for him. And he will bless others through us. We live for him who died and rose again on our behalf. The love of Christ controls us. The love of God, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, which is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's why he says then, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. New things have come. The love of God is poured into my heart. New desires, new attitudes, new motives. I just can't hate somebody. I can't hold resentment. I can't give room for bitterness, because the love of Christ controls me. And whatever anyone may say or do, whatever anyone may say about my family, whatever anyone may say about me, the love of Christ controls me. I can't hate him. I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for her. The love of Christ controls us. That's the third characteristic of a man who and a woman who is truly reconciled to God. All things become new. Behold, I make all things new. And God gives us the ministry of reconciliation. We can go around helping others to come into this life, helping others to come to Christ, to be part of this new creation, where old things pass away and new things come. How is it, my brothers and sisters? Is that happening, or has it stopped somewhere along the way? And you're going to sleep? I urge you, I beg you, be reconciled to God, at least today, from today itself. And finally, we see there, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. It says there, I urge you, I beg you, working together with him, I beg you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. The second thing, the fourth characteristic will be that I will never receive the grace of God in vain. Grace will be manifest in my life. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance. And Paul says, I urge you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Why should we not receive the grace of God in vain? Look at it. He says, at the acceptable time, I listen to you. This is God speaking. At the acceptable time, I listen to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not today. Notice that. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait till this evening. Don't wait till you go home today. Now, this moment, now, right now, is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. God will give us grace. God is able to make all grace abound to you. We have heard that. We have an abundance in everything. And Paul says there, to these Galatian Christians who began well, Galatians 5 and verse 4, he says, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. They began by the Spirit, but now they were seeking to be justified by the law. Somehow they became legalists again. He says, you're severed from Christ, you're fallen from grace. They received grace in vain. These Galatian believers, the church in Galatia, and most of them were there. They were become legalists. They became Pharisees again. They were severed from Christ, they fell from grace. And the moment you become a legalist, a Pharisee, my brother, sister, you are severed from Christ, you have fallen from grace. Take it to heart. We also see in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. He says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. We can fall from grace. We can come short of the grace. How? When bitterness comes into your heart. That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 12. That no root of bitterness causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. You have bitterness in your heart. You're angry with your parents. You're angry with the brothers and sisters, you're upset with the elders or whatever, whoever else. You give room to bitterness, you have come short of the grace of God, even though you have been in this church from the beginning. I have taken that to heart. I made sure that no root of bitterness, whatever may happen, many things happen as we work together in the church, but no root of bitterness ever comes into my heart. Never defile myself, and I will never defile others. If you have done it, repent, my brother and sister. You defiled others because you got bitter. You got resentful because what somebody said, you were corrected, you were rebuked. Repent of it this morning. Otherwise, you receive God's grace in vain. You come short of the grace of God. Grace must train us, discipline us. In Titus 3:11, bringing salvation to all men. It says there, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously and godly in this present age. That is what grace must do. To train us and discipline us. Grace will be manifest in our lives. And so, as the Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul, I beg you, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to Him. I beg you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Let's from today ask God, I want that you go out from this place knowing that you have been reconciled, my dear brother and sister, whoever you are, however long you've been in this church, that you're reconciled to God through repentance and faith if you've not come in that way, and through whatever is happening in your life, be reconciled to God. So that you can make it your ambition to please Him. So that the fear of God will be characteristic in your life. So that the love of Christ will control you. And grace will be manifest in your lives. That's the church. The top stone will be laid with the shouts of grace to it. And when people see us, they see the grace of God. Do you want it that way, my brother and sister? Be reconciled to God. Become an ambassador for Christ. God will give you the ministry of reconciliation. We need many ambassadors in this church. God will give you the word of reconciliation. We need such people today, not people who go around creating disorder and strife. Those who can reconcile. Shall we bow our heads? I want to ask you to ask yourself, if God has spoken to your heart, are you reconciled to Him? Don't look at that time when you came first to repentance and faith. How is it today? How is it this morning? Are you reconciled to God? You've backslidden. You've taken sin lightly. Let's repent. Say, Lord, not anymore. I'm going to stand one day before your judgment seat, Lord. I'm going to give an account. I'm going to be recompensed for the way I lived in this body. Please help me. Please help me in my attitude towards sin. I want to hate sin. I want to accept your righteousness and give you my sin, because that's what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I come to you in humility, in true repentance and faith. And I also want to be reconciled to all my circumstances and situations and everything that you allow into my life. Thank you. You don't count my sins against me. Thank you that you have forgiven me, because Jesus took it all and you have given me your righteousness. You clothed me in your righteousness. Lord Jesus, I want to experience what it is to be truly reconciled to you, to be a true ambassador, so that I can be a true representative, Lord, of you in my one life on this earth. Please help me through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And I know that you hear my cry, you hear my prayer, that I come in need this morning. I want never again that I come short of the grace of God. Never again to fall from grace, Lord. I pray that you would help me. My life will be different. I will walk out from here knowing that you have reconciled me to yourself. You have taken the first step. Thank you. Amen.
You know, we have only one life on earth, and we don't know how long we're going to live on this earth, and everything is a question of what we have done with one life God's given us. The other day, Brother Zach sent an email saying, even if some people manage to get into heaven, will you have a regret that the one life God gave you on earth, you did not live for the Lord, live for your own self, and you wasted it? So many people, we can say, so many are not saved, so many are not born again, and yet God gave us the opportunity to hear the gospel, and we have been saved by the grace of God. And I must say, it's a wonderful privilege to be saved. You know, we heard that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And you know, brothers and sisters, when we thoroughly repent of our sins and acknowledge that Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin because of our behalf, when I accept that, Lord, you took my sins and I accept you as my Savior, then I thoroughly give up my past sins and ask the Lord to forgive me, and then I get the righteousness of God. I find many people, they have not had a genuine conversion. That's the reason there's no growth in their life. I believe that will bring us great thankfulness. I was a sinner. Jesus took sins on himself to save me. And that's what brings salvation. He's my Savior. And I believe it's a wonderful experience. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, if you have never known the Lord as your Savior, if you've never had a genuine encounter, please stay back and say, brother, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to be reconciled with God. Reconciliation means once upon a time we were an enemy, now we can become a friend of God. You know, children, sometimes when you have a fight, you know, either the parents or the teachers say, now say sorry, and then you say, shake hands. And they make peace with one another. We can say they make friends with one another. And that's what the Lord does for us too. Once upon a time, we were enemies. But through Christ, by faith in Christ, who took our sins, we become friends with God, we have peace with God, and we have a new life in Christ. And then, after that, I believe it's never God's will we should go back to our old life. Everything should become new. And I believe after that, we can learn the fear of God like we heard this morning. And after that, I believe it's our ambition should be to please God. Can we say, ever since the time I came to the church, my ambition is to please God? Ask yourself, brothers and sisters, have you been thoroughly converted? Can you say, I no longer live for myself. I live for Jesus. I live for the kingdom of God. I live for God's interest. I'm sorry to say, we can't say everybody's like that. But I say at least more than 50% should be like that. I can't force anyone. I believe in this church what we are seeking to do is to lead people to Christ. Maybe till today you're an enemy of God. Today you can be reconciled. You can leave this place as a friend of God. You can be reconciled to God, find peace with Christ, and find a new life in Christ. And then, from today onwards, you can learn to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Learn to live a life in the fear of God. Learn to be an ambassador of Christ. That means you go around telling people, once I was an enemy, but God has reconciled me. He has accepted me. He loves me. And now I want to live for Him. And I believe we need many such people in this church who can say, I was once an enemy of Christ. You see the epistles. Apostle Paul says that again and again. Apostle Paul said, once I was a blasphemer. He never forgot. I believe that's how we should give our testimony. Once I was a sinner. Once I was an enemy of God. But the Lord had mercy on me, loved me and changed my life. He is my Savior. Now I want to live for Him. And I believe that passion and devotion must never go back. You know, Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Corinthians with a great burden. It's a wonderful letter. I read it again and again this last 2 weeks, 2 Corinthians. Oh, what a burden he had. He wanted to help them to grow in the Lord. He says, I wish true Christian maturity, he wrote to them. He wanted to lead them. He said, the Holy Spirit gives life. He wanted to lead them to such a tremendous life in God. But these Corinthians had backslidden. They didn't know Apostle Paul's love. It's like all children. They don't understand parents' love. They doubt parents' love. And even the church, not many understand the elders' heart. They doubt them. Even the Corinthians doubted Apostle Paul. So Apostle Paul opened his heart. And he said, you Corinthians, you're so narrow in your heart. Our heart is enlarged, he says. He wanted to help them and bless them, lead them higher. And I want to say this morning, that's I wish for you, brothers and sisters. Oh, maybe thoroughly set in the past and come into a wonderful life in Christ so that you can say, by the grace of God, God has mercy on me. I'm not going to waste my life. Like we sang in the song, we should be able to say, I'm reconciled to God. My past is forgiven. I will live for my Savior's good pleasure and live in that commitment and devotion. That's what Apostle Paul designed for the Corinthians, that they might have the simplicity and purity of devotion. Oh, may the Lord raise up such brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter how much you messed up your life. Can you say, I messed up my life, but God had mercy on me? And after you receive mercy, I believe you must live in such devotion and commitment to the Lord. Say, I'm not going back. I believe that is showing the gratefulness to the Lord. Lord, you had mercy on me. You gave me such a salvation. You reconciled me to yourself. And I will never go back. Like he says, be separate, says the Lord. Separate from the world. Separate from your past behavior. Now, my life is different. I live for Jesus. And I believe we should be able to say boldly, I am an ambassador of Christ. As long as God gives me life, I will not live a double life. Totally separate from the world, separate from sin, and live for the Lord, live for God's good pleasure. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, this is not a burden. And Apostle Paul was so gripped by the gospel Oh, you could say the love of Christ constrains us. What a man he was. That was motivating him. Love of Christ is motivating me. Constraining me. Oh, may the Lord do such a work in us so that we can also say, we can also follow Christ, the Lord, as we, as Apostle Paul follow and say, Lord, let your love constrain me, Lord. The one life you've given me on earth, I don't want to waste my life living a double-hearted, half-hearted, third-rate or mediocre life. Lord, I want to live wholly for you. And that's what we're seeking to, brothers and sisters. Raise up whole-hearted brothers and sisters for the Lord who will bring joy to God's heart. I feel so sad when I see young people bring sorrow to parents' heart. I believe that's really sad. All of you children and young people, I believe it's God's will you must bring joy to your parents' heart. And I believe it's God's will that all of you brothers and sisters who received so much of God's word, you must bring joy to your elders. And I believe it's God's will you must bring joy to God's heart. I hope you leave the meeting this morning and say, I want to bring joy to God's heart and to the elders' heart and to the parents' heart. Those who led you, taught you, shepherded you, guided you, blessed you. After all that, what are we going to say? Oh, brother, I'm sorry, I messed up my life again. Is that the gospel? And I want to say that's not the gospel. The gospel is we can be saved thoroughly from a past life and come into a new development of pleasing the Lord, living in the fear of the Lord, living for Jesus, living for His glory, living with joy, living with the focus, with the direction, and not going back. And not only that, I'll close with that. You know what's the gospel? That we can receive abundance of grace in our life to meet every trial, every circumstance, every situation. You know, Apostle Paul said, a light affliction. It's only for a moment. After this man who was beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, and went through so many, he said, oh, a light affliction, which is only for a short time, works for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Imagine if he had many brothers who can testify like that. Oh, all the affliction is only for a short time. It's only light. And every trial is meant to give me glory. Have you seen brothers and sisters like that? Who are so gripped by God's plans and God's purposes? You read 2 Corinthians, Apostle Paul says, God comforts us in every trial so that we can comfort others. And I believe God wants to do such a work in us that you can go around comforting and strengthening and blessing continually as long as God gives us grace. And I believe that's God's wonderful plan for all of us, to change us so much, to be so gripped by God's plans and purposes so that we can sing like we sang this morning. So I live for my Savior's good pleasure. I got only one life. I'm not going to waste it. And not only that, to challenge others, don't waste your life, brother. Why do you let the root of bitterness come into your heart? And he says, do not frustrate the grace of God. Don't receive the grace of God in me. In other words, God wants to give you grace. You're tying God's hands. How foolish. Imagine God wants to give us so much grace through our stubbornness, our own foolishness, we want to do our own will through allowing bitterness in our heart. We frustrate God's plan, frustrate God's grace. Oh, may the Lord save us from that. And you know, Apostle Paul, like we heard, he pleaded with the Corinthians. He had such a father's heart. And oh, may God give us grace this morning to really, really take a life extremely seriously in the days to come. I believe we are so lucky to hear God's word. Very rarely you get a place where you can hear God's word like this, to say, we're going to face the judgment of Jesus Christ one day, and we're going to one day give an account to God. We've heard this so much. Oh, may it grip our hearts. If it has gripped your heart, then you will not waste your life. You will take every day, every temptation, every sin seriously. And you say, Lord, when I meet you one day, Lord, I want to be thankful that I did not waste my life. I want to be thankful for your grace. I want to be thankful for your mercy. I want to be thankful for your love. I want to be thankful for all the brothers and sisters who helped me to stay focused and who helped me to bring joy to your heart. Like in the parable, it's written, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. May the Lord give us grace to get that commendation, so that the Lord can say, you did not waste your life. Amen. I want to praise the Lord what we heard. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, go and read 2 Corinthians, even 1 Corinthians also. Understand Paul's heart. What a heart he had to help them. You know, maybe respond to God's heart this morning and come into a blessed life. And imagine to be able to say, I am an ambassador of Christ. God's given me grace. I'm not a great man, but I'm an ambassador of Christ. God's given me grace to represent Him, to speak about Him, to testify about Him, wherever I go. What a tremendous privilege. Oh, may the Lord help us to make use of the time God has given us on earth to bring glory to His name. Amen. I